Brian Lehrer on WNYC. In our studio now is one of the leaders of the democracy movement in Egypt. Bassem Fathi is here in New York to accept an award from the human rights group, Human Rights First. He was involved with the January 25th Tahrir Square movement that wound up toppling Hosni Mubarak, and he was a founder of the April 6th youth movement that followed. Before the revolution, he had been detained by the Mubarak government several times. So we'll hear his story, and we'll see what he thinks about the more recent developments in Egypt that seem less encouraging to some degree in terms of democracy building, though they do have parliamentary elections beginning next month. He has also visited Occupy Wall Street, I am told, here in New York, so we'll ask him if he thinks the movements are linked. Bassem, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
Is this your first time in New York?
No, I've been here for a couple of days.
How would you compare it to Cairo on first impression?
It's a hectic city, just like Cairo. Yes, and all the people are here.
All the people from all over the world
yes.
are here. What have you done in New York that you've really enjoyed? Anything in particular?
Actually, on this visit, mainly I was... Basie was the yesterday's dinner and the award of Human Rights First and a lot of meetings.
Here on business.
Yes.
Take us back before Tahrir Square. How long have you been involved in politics or free speech issues in Egypt? And for what reasons were you detained by the Mubarak government?
For me, actually, I was following very closely, maybe since 2005 at least. But I mean, on this time I was studying and very busy. Then after my graduation, I started to work on more committed way. And in 2008, I started actually to work for democracy, let's say, on a daily basis. I started with April 6 movement. I was one of the co-founders. We started this movement dreaming of having a day of a dramatic change, a change like what happened. We cannot say we were waiting for a revolution. We were using actually the word revolution, but we was knowing that it is impossible to happen. So
you never actually thought you would see the day like
yes.
in Tahrir Square?
Yes, we said, okay, let's work for like 20, 30, 60 years, and we're going to witness this when we are old.
Did you have interim goals that you thought would come first?
We were actually targeting Hosni Mubarak. And you know, this was supportive in our work and having a very definite goal. It was very easy that we have, all of the opposition and the youth activists and the democracy movements, they are working for only one goal. And that's why actually we're missing the way after he left already.
You're missing the way. In other words, it was so single-focused on getting Mubarak out.
Exactly.
That you didn't build some of the foundations of an ongoing democracy first.
Let's say that it wasn't allowed for us to build any kind of foundations. I mean, it was a very tight environment. But the problem that the goal was very clear before, but now we have tons of goals.
And the April 6th youth movement, just to be clear about the timeline, because I think I misstated it before, that came before the January 25th movement.
3 years before.
So that was 2008, as you say.
Yes.
Post-revolution Egypt has its problems. For example, there was violence against Coptic Christians by some people, and the military seems reportedly not to have cracked down on them, rather to have cracked down on the Coptic Christians when they protested the attacks. How do you see those incidents?
I want to say from the point of view of activists, it is a violence from the military against civilians, away being Christians or not. I want to say that I am a Muslim and I've been in the protest supporting the rights of the Egyptian Christians for having their worship places safe. So, I mean, this is the sense among the activists. Might be it's not the sense among all the people. The people are conservative, by the way. But, I mean, they are conservative but not violent. And we believe that the state trying to push or incite against each other, the religious groups against each other, in order to have a full control over the political scene.
Do you fear that radical Islamist groups are becoming powerful or powerful beyond their numbers in Egypt?
If we're talking about radical Islamists, then we're talking about a small group, of course, not very small. They got a lot of power after the revolution. The environment started to be open for them. But I just want to differentiate between like three groups of Islamists in Egypt. We have very moderate and open Islamists. They are not a lot. And the second group is the Muslim Brotherhood. Everybody hears about them. They are well organized and have very big numbers. However, they are very conservative, but I mean, I believe they are not a big danger. The big danger is the extremists, the Salafis, who are very hardliners, and I mean, they cannot accept whether democratic process or even coexistence with the others.
Are the Salafis running candidates in the parliamentary elections that begin next month?
They are doing, and we're very worried about this. But I mean, I have a bet that Egyptians are conservatives, but they are moderate, and they will not vote for them. And hopefully, this will be the case.
Bassem Fathi, democracy movement leader from Egypt, my guest on WNYC in New York to accept an award from the human rights group, Human Rights First. Anybody want to talk to Bassem Fathi? 212-433-WNYC. Any other Egyptians listening? We welcome your calls. Anyone from the Occupy Wall Street movement on whether these are linked? Because you visited Occupy Wall Street,
and
right?
Occupy DC.
And
yeah, both.
You walked by?
I walked. Occupy Wall Street here and Occupy DC there. And actually, we showed all our support.
And we'll get into that in a little while. But anybody from that movement, anyone else may call 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. On that phrase you used about one of the three Islamist groups, modern, open Islamists, there were elections in Tunisia over the weekend, which, of course, was the first country to topple its dictator in the Arab Spring, inspiring Egypt. And they seem to have been won by what's being described as a moderate Islamist party making a coalition with liberals. Are you following Tunisia?
I'm following to a big extent, very happy and very jealous.
Very happy and very jealous. And to our listeners in the States who may not know what that term would mean, modern Islamist, because I think Americans tend to associate the term Islamist with a kind of bin Ladenism or something like that. What is a modern Islamist?
Modern or moderate Islamist, they are people who have a religious background, and they try to apply the religious beliefs in their daily life. In the same time, they are very open to have coexistence with the others, accepting all the people and going into democratic process and to live in peace.
Oh, you didn't say modern before. You said moderate. Is that right?
I said moderate, yes.
You said moderate, yes, and yes. I misheard you and repeated right. It as modern, so just to correct that. When are the Egyptian elections coming exactly?
This start is going to be on November 28th, and it's going to last until March.
Now, how does that work? That's almost inconceivable in this country that elections would last for, what is
like
that,
four or five months or something, yeah.
To elect the national parliament.
Actually, yes, we're going to elect the two chambers, the upper house and the lower house. And the lower house, I mean, it's the main chamber on the parliament, and it's going to have three stages, and each stage will have a break in between. I mean, it's a very big deal.
Are you happy with how it's set up? Do you think the elections are going to be free and fair?
It's not meeting our expectations. After the uprising on January and February, we were very dreaming a lot about having a typical and ideal elections, our electoral process. Seemingly, it's not the same as much as we dreamed before. But okay, it's fine. I believe it's gonna be not that bad like before, at least.
George in Larchmont, you're on WNYC with Bassem Fathi. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, George.
Yes, hi. I wanted to ask Bassem if Egypt is going to utilize our utterly foolish single vote system method of voting, which forces politics into a de facto two-party system, each party trying to undermine the other, or if they would consider going to score voting, which would find the most generally preferred candidate from any size field. It would be a level playing field for all of the candidates or parties.
What we're looking for as activists for having, let's say, frankly, much more open electoral process than in the U.S., having multiple parties, allowing the independents to go there. I mean, we just want to give more opportunities. But this is on the level of our dreams. Yet we're still struggling against those who are trying to push us back to another autocracy.
So you've been to Occupy Wall Street?
I've been, yes.
How much do you see it as part of the same movement as Yorion in Egypt, or can they even be compared?
For me, I'm comparing. I can see them comparable. Of course, a lot of differences. We were there to starting democracy and to, to set the basic rights. But here, I believe they are correcting the pathway of democracy, and this is very important. I believe also that they are similar to us. They are challenging something impossible. We were challenging the monster of the regime in Egypt, the oppressive regime, and here they are challenging a very well-set system in the United States for like 200 years.
You were challenging an oppressive regime, but how much was unemployed Egyptian youth, the large numbers of young people with little economic hope, also a force behind the revolution? Certainly that helped spark it in Tunisia with the person who set himself on fire. There was an economic motive to that as well as a political one. How much would you say that was intertwined in the Egyptian experience?
In Egypt, actually, let's say that all the reasons were there behind. Many were doing this because of they fed up with the political closeness. Many did this because of the economic reasons. Many for their dignity, just for they got harmed by maybe the police brutality or something. So I mean, all the reasons were there, and the economic reasons were very strong behind.
I read one article that said things have only gotten worse for young Egyptians since the revolution in terms of jobs, as society reorganizes itself, and that takes time. Is that your impression?
On the economic level with the young people, I mean, I feel it is the same with the young people. Maybe before on some other classes, it's worsened, but with the young people, no. I mean, it is still as bad as it is.
Ayad Ahmed in Secaucus, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. How are you?
Thank you for calling.
Thanks for listening to me. I would like to comment to your guest about the bad representation. He's representing the Salafis and saying that they can't get along with anybody. Not really. Who couldn't get along with anybody was actually the previous regime. Mubarak's regime was supported highly by the United States of America. Up till the revolution time, up till the uprising, Mr. Joe Biden and Mrs. Clinton, they actually praised Mubarak. The Salafis, they don't go out there and kill anybody because they disagree with them. The Salafis, they don't go out there and burn their churches. Your guest, he got to be more accurate. And if he doesn't have proof, if it's theoretically speaking, so he's entitled to his own theory. But if it's not proven, it's not truth.
Bassem, you want to talk to Ayad Ahmed?
Yes, I mean, for me, I accept everybody, but I mean, this is the statements of these Egyptian Salafis, at least. I mean, they are saying that we will not accept of having so and so and so. So they are tightening the public space over the people.
Would you say they accept so and so or they not? Would you please be precise? Who tried to calm down the unrest in Egypt, especially after the old former regime, the secret police, who actually inciting all this agony? I don't know if you even understand those terminology or not.
So he says they've tried to calm people down after the regime. I've also seen accusations that Salafis, that doesn't mean all Salafis, but some Salafis were behind the church burnings.
Actually, I'm not. No, I believe those who were behind the church burnings were the regime. Even before the revolution and after the revolution. Actually, I'm not talking about the responsibilities of Salafis, of churching, of harming churches.
Okay.
I'm talking about acceptance of the others in general in the public life. But I believe they are not using violence so far.
Bassem Fathi, my guest on WNYC, a very well-known in Egypt democracy movement leader in New York to accept an award from the human rights group, Human Rights First. What about Israel? many Jews are worried that the democracy movement in Israel, in Egypt, is opposed to the long-standing peace treaty with Israel because most Arabs are skeptical of it. And there have already been some tensions between Israel and Egypt in the post-Mubarak era. Can good relations with Israel be part of a progressive agenda in Egypt?
Actually, the people in Egypt mainly are concentrating, focusing on the situation inside Egypt. The problem that the people in Egypt might seek a balanced relation. I mean, of course, it's not going to be like on Mubarak. Simply Mubarak, from our point of view, he was serving the interest of Israel, not of Egyptians. So, I mean, of course, this is not acceptable. And in the same time, nobody talking about war or violence or anything. I believe the treaty will be kept as it is, of course, with no acceptance of or tolerance with any harming of the Egyptian dignity, like what happened on killing the people on the Egyptian borders by the Israeli troops. I mean, the people will not accept this and will not call for a war, for example.
But you think maintaining the peace treaty is in the interest of the Egyptian people, you're saying?
Yes, maintaining the treaty while keeping the Egyptian dignity and, I mean, not accepting something not acceptable from the Israeli government against the Egyptians on the borders.
We're almost out of time. You blog, and you do some kind of political tagging project, I understand, in connection with the elections upcoming, right?
Yes.
What does that do?
I'm working on having a technology of mapping. Its name is Ushahidi, started in Kenya for observing the elections in 2007, which is just an online platform with a mobile phone number and Twitter hashtag where the people can just report their testimonies on the elections of if there is any violation or something. And as much people using this, it is a participatory tool, then we can draw a kind of image of the case of the election, if it's free or not. And this is available for all people to see it.
And what's the meaning of the award you got from Human Rights First, which is the human rights group, and which is what brings you to New York? Can it help the democracy movement in Egypt in any way?
I mean, every little support from those who are advocating human rights around the world really appreciated there. I mean, we believe we are one. We are working and standing for the same values. Of course, it's helpful.
Thank you so much for your work. Thank you so much for coming here. Bassam Fathi, congratulations again on your award. And we look forward to following your work when you're back in Egypt. Perhaps we can have you on the phone to report to us as the elections begin there next
Great.
Month.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now a call-in for a certain select group of you, WNYC listeners who choose not to vote in elections. For the next few minutes, the only ones of you who may call in are those of you who are eligible to register and vote in the United States, but generally choose not to. You can call us right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or if you would rather answer by text message, text NYC Votes to 30644, text NYC Votes to 30644. But again, our call-in line to tell us why you choose not to vote, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and we'll take those calls and explain why we're doing this today in just a minute.